Good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning. Hayden, I must say I don't watch a lot of free-to-air television, and yet even I am seeing Clive Palmer's face cropping up again and again. He certainly seems to have a good handle on this advertising business, but is he in any way prepared for the reality of actually taking over a whole bunch of seats?
Well, is, I guess, Sean, Clive even being half-realistic about his brand name? I mean, had he not had all the trouble with his company up in Townsville and the widespread report that you know, he dudded many of his workers, he owes people money, and I can't comment whether that's true or not. I mean, I follow his business case solidly, but that's hardly the point. It's perception, isn't it? So often in politics, it's how an individual or political party is perceived, what voters think of the leader. In this instance, you would just think he's starting, you know, well behind the eight ball, with much chance of people even taking this massive advertising campaign seriously.
I must say, most of the news stories I've seen cropping up on the likes of social media, when somebody's reporting a story on Clive Palmer, Clive Palmer's doing this or that, the vast majority of comments from regular Australians are about the Queensland Nickel Company. That still seems to be the chief perception hanging over his head.
And that's the point. I mean, it really doesn't matter whether the attack upon him is objective and, you know, and accurate. It's the perception here that something's awry. And I think that's where, if you're advising Mr. Palmer, you'd probably say, look, save your money and wait for another election in the future. Prepare the ground with probably half the candidates or a third of the candidates. Don't make it so big at the outset. Concentrate your resources and you might have a chance of a comeback. I mean, after all, he was elected to the federal parliament in 2013. You know, he did serve a term, but 16, he was, you know, he went nowhere. He was trounced. I haven't got the figures in front of me, but he didn't travel well. So look, I just find it a grand puzzle. I mean, and often the adverts aren't even, you know, some of them are short, but then there's been full-page ones in the Australian or broadsheet newspaper. I mean, they must, they'd cost tens of thousands. And do people really want to read the didactic ream of comments from Clive? Look, you just scratch your head. I mean, it's a democracy. He's got every right to spend his money absolutely how he wishes. He has every right to try to get together a big team of people and, crying out loud, 150 candidates across the country. I mean, you know, herding cats would seem to be more the analogy than a united party.
Well, you would have to say he wasn't terribly successful in his last attempt at holding a party together. You know, it was a pretty quick turnaround when all the candidates had sort of abandoned that party. You mentioned there, though, these sort of these full spread ads in the likes of The Australian or, you know, again, the television commercials we'll see. And whether it really shifts anybody's perception, really anybody wants to be confronted with this political messaging. But as we say, he's outspending the two major parties here in this country, and certainly they must see some value in advertising. Just how much does it actually affect voters' perception, how the votes go, the amount of money you spend on television and newspapers and the like?
It's a very uncertain science, so to speak. Assessing just what is the impact of political advertising. In a nutshell, the closer we get to polling day, we have 10-15% of voters who really are pretty much disengaged, not particularly interested, haven't quite made up their mind. The advertising at that point, last few days, usually very negative in attacking, you know, so that's Labor attacking Liberal or vice versa. There you can make the case because you're after, you know, a system where we're all compelled to attend a polling booth, and most of us then do drop a vote, a formal vote. But as I say, 10 or 15% really not that engaged. That sort of advertising can be very effective. Now, I know that from the studies, like surveys of people. But when you get to this point, a long, you know, we're 3 months out at least from the election, you'd have to say not that effective. I think what he's trying trying to do is rekindle the interest of those people who supported him before. And I cannot help but think, when you try to, you know, puzzle over the psychology of Mr. Palmer, that Trump's inspired him. You know, there's an inspiration there about throwing a lot of money at a campaign, having had a prominent, you know, presence within the society, and there's no doubt, you know, Palmer's name's well known, that he's hoping to pick up the sort of voter I'm talking about, people who are perhaps even growing in number, more than 15% today, who just peeved, you know, just had enough of really the style of politics in the nation, the quality of our national leaders, and are prepared to look around for an alternative. Now, obviously, Hanson sat there, you know, Queensland in particular, prominently as that option. Palmer, I think, is thinking that way. And that's the best handle I can give on it. And at this juncture, he just wants to spend millions of dollars on advertising, which, as I say, is not going to be nearly as effective as when you get close to the campaign. But he's trying to build the beginnings of some momentum that people at least start to look at him seriously during the campaign.
Well, it doesn't sound a great deal like Mr. Palmer's going to get value for money for what he's putting in. Based on your assessment, Hayden, thanks very much. Do appreciate your time.
Pleasure.